Changing hat to sermon. Okay. He is risen. Well, today is Resurrection Sunday or Easter or lots of things. It is a landmark day in the Christian faith. It is a linchpin upon which our faith rests. If Jesus is not risen, then our faith is in vain. Do you believe that? If Jesus is not risen, then your faith, my faith, is in vain. So let's take some time to look into this account. We're going to look at John chapter 20, verses 1 through 23 today. There's four Gospels and four accounts of this, but we're going to take a peek at this one, and not the whole account, but part of it, then chapter 20. And as we look at this account of the resurrection and the events of that day following it, we will see that the knowledge of this resurrection of Jesus Christ, it caused something to happen to those who witnessed it. It changed them forever. If I was to summarize this passage, chapter 20 of John 1 through 23, I would say this: let the resurrection send you out. Let the resurrection send you out. And one thing that's interesting to notice in this passage, and I'm going to ask Marilyn to come up and read that for us. I want you to watch out for, I spy, look for repeated phrases. Look for things that are said twice. Those are very important. So Marilyn, if you would come up and read it, I believe the mic's ready. You just have to get it to the level you need it. All right, thank you, Marilyn.
I love Easter. It's my favorite time of year. I've watched every Easter program that there is. I've watched every cartoon that there was. And you know what my favorite part is? It's when the crucifixion is done, the thunder and the lightning and the veil rent in two, and all of that is done, and it's quiet. And they say, you got to put a seal on the rock. And they put the seals on the rock, and your heart starts beating faster because you know the seals aren't going to stick, and you know that the soldiers are going to get zonked, and they're going to be lying flat on the ground, and then the light starts peeking around the rock. Do you ever get excited about seeing the light peeking around the rock? I do, because you know what's coming, and you know it's so exciting, and it's way beyond anything that you could have dreamed. Now it's my turn to read the scripture. It's just so exciting. How can you not be excited about Easter? It's like the culmination of everything. Well, until the second coming, then that's it. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. See, she didn't have a clue. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping down to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Excuse me. Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away,
tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I've seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that week, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld.
It's the word of the Lord, right? You know, one thing I've noticed, we're so familiar with the Easter story, we've read it many times, but when you slow down, read it again, let it sink into you, marinate into you, you will always find new things. New things will jump out at you. New things will appear that you maybe didn't notice before. And I always encourage you, look for those repeated phrases. Did you hear any repeated in there? What did you hear repeated? Peace be with you. That was said twice. Any other ones? There's a couple more. Woman, why are you weeping? We do not know where they have laid him. That idea, like that's said a couple times. Where has he been laid? Where has he been laid? Yeah, the cloth. So those are things for, you know, we may not be able to dig into all those, but you want to ask yourself, why is this said twice? Because when something's said twice, the author's wanting you to notice something. How does this matter? How is this connected? So as we focus in on this idea of let the resurrection send you out, you might notice that that's rooted in the phrase at the end of this passage where Jesus says in verse 21, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Besides saying peace with you, that's the first thing he says to them, you know, not, hey guys, it's me. Peace be with you, go, right? I'm sending you. The resurrection, as I've been sent, so I am sending you. So it's very important. So let the resurrection send you out. And there's three ways that that's being talked about in this. Verses 1 through 10, to investigate for yourself. To investigate for yourself. Secondly, the middle part there, to encounter Jesus for yourself. And then the last part, to let the resurrection send you to encourage others to investigate and encounter Jesus for themselves. Let's dig into the first point. Let the resurrection send you out to investigate for yourself. One thing I love about Christianity is not afraid to be tested. It's not afraid to be questioned. Many have tried to disprove it over and over and have been unable to do it. And many have come to faith as they sought to disprove it. This whole account starts with women coming to the tomb. I love how John said that. This whole account is the women are first to experience this. The women are first to see Jesus. There's a very big emphasis on women. And in this society, women were even lower viewed than today. So think about this. This is pretty revolutionary. that they would include this in this document. If they were trying to make up this story, in that day and time, a woman's testimony was not valid in court. So if you're trying to make up a story and you say the first person that saw him was a woman, that's not very good for your case. So they weren't just making this up to try to, you know, okay, let's make this up. Let's pretend Jesus rose from the dead. And let's put a woman seeing him first. That would make no sense whatsoever for them. So the fact that that's put in there shows this is an actual account. This is not a legend. Legends tend to emphasize the things like and the things that we're all about. And that was not in their worldview then. So this is not a legend. Another thing about this is the Jews did not have a concept of the resurrection in that time. They thought maybe at the end of time there would be a resurrection. So they would have had no idea that that was going to happen. It would have not been in their worldview. The Greeks also did not have a concept of resurrection like it's portrayed here. So this resurrection of Jesus was not in anyone's worldview that they were thinking, oh, now I'm going to put this on, right? A lot of times we have ways we think things should be, and then we interpret events through that lens. They had no lens like this to even make this up. This was so outside the box for them. So take that into account. Some people say, oh, it's a made-up story. They would have made it up some other way, but not this way. It was totally outside their worldview. That's why, you know, they went, they saw the cloth, they saw his evidence, and they're still scratching their heads going, what's happened? They did not reach their conclusions till Jesus actually appeared to them and said, here I am, right? Like, the disciples, they went and they said they believed, but then they just kind of went home. They didn't know what to do with this because it didn't fit their worldview. So we, like this story, maybe are moved by this announcement of the resurrection, and maybe you're saying, I know this is true. I encourage you to investigate for yourself. You might say, well, I can't go to Israel. That's an expensive plane ticket. And it's been many thousands of years since then, so what evidence would I find? Well, we have firsthand accounts, four of them. And some people say, well, they're different, so that shows they're not true. Actually, the fact that they're slightly different is compelling evidence for it. I don't know if you've been a police officer. If you ever interview people around an event, everyone's story is always a little bit different. If everyone's story is exactly the same, you know they probably cooked it up. The fact that they're slightly different and the order of things, these are firsthand accounts. So, in that time and place of history, investigate it. You have tools. I remember hearing, has anyone heard of Josh McDowell? He was an atheist lawyer, and when he was in school, he decided he was going to finally, once and for all, prove that the Bible was wrong, that it was made up, that the resurrection didn't happen, all these things. So he set his mind to look at the evidence like a lawyer and just blow it out of the water. That was his goal. Does anyone know what happened? He ended up getting saved through the process, and he wrote a big book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. I would say if you're wanting to dig into this, go check out that book. Maybe someone a lot smarter than you has already gone through this process, and you can benefit from what they have done. So the resurrection demands that you and I investigate it. We cannot dismiss it. So secondly, let the resurrection send you out to encounter Jesus for yourself. Not just to investigate for yourself, but to encounter Jesus for yourself. Verses 11 through 18, we see here the first person who has encountered Jesus after the resurrection. We have the account of the first appearance to one of the disciples, and it is a woman. Wow, that's awesome. We're talking about women today. As I said before, in this time of history, women's testimonies were not accepted in a court of law. If they wanted to make this account appear more authentic, they would not have put Mary as the first witness. But Jesus likes to do stuff different. He likes to turn things on their head for us. He values women, right? He values the least of these. He values everyone. So even though Mary had been to the empty tomb two times, it still has not dawned on her that he is resurrected. Like I said earlier, it was not in her worldview. It was not in her wheelhouse to even think of this as a possibility. And what's ironic, though, is Jesus had said that a few times to them. It shows how outside of their worldview it was, because he had warned them. He had said, when I resurrect, when I rise again, we see that in the account. So he had even prepared them a little bit, and it still was so far outside of their scope that they didn't get it. So she is sitting there weeping. You know, you think she would be rejoicing, but she's weeping. She thinks someone has stolen the Christ, his body. She sees some angels, and she's still weeping. Like there, it talks about two angels, and they say, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She turns around, sees Jesus, but she doesn't recognize him. Have you ever had that where you don't recognize someone? You're not anticipating running into them? Or like myself, sometimes I run into someone I knew from high school, and it's been a fair bit of years. I won't say how many, but we're getting up on 30. Yikes. Okay. And I run into them, and it's been a good long while, and you don't recognize them. And then they say, "I'm so-and-so," and suddenly, okay, start to piece, oh, yeah, the eyes, the nose, oh, yeah, it is them. And your perception of them changes. Like, I remember running into one guy, I hadn't seen him since, like, eighth grade. And in eighth grade, he was this real skinny little scrawny guy, and now he is, like my size. And I barely recognized him. I was like, "What? You're so-and-so? Huh." So, you know, you might say, well, they just saw Jesus 3 days before. How would they not recognize him? You know, some might say, you know, the resurrected body of Jesus was different such that they didn't recognize him. But then once he showed them the scars and other things, they did recognize him. But she wasn't expecting this. And she was encountering Christ, but she didn't recognize him until he did what? Said her name. It's important. Have you had Jesus say your name? I was thinking what Marie was saying earlier. Dan, Rui, have you heard Jesus say your name? Has it become personal for you? Have you encountered the risen Christ? He is encounterable. He is very personal. He knows your flaws, your sins, your strengths, how amazing you are, how terrible you are. We're all a bundle of contradictions, aren't we? He knows that, and he wants to save you still. That's the wonderful news of the gospel, that you're loved more than you ever dared hope, but you're worse than you ever thought you were, right? Yet he loves you knowing all that, and he wants to save you from that. Have you encountered in Christ? Do you know him? As Dan said earlier, I love how the words from the Lord are matching up. Do you know Jesus? Today is the day of salvation. So young people, old people, middle-aged people, do you know him? Do you know him or just know about him? Maybe you've investigated, but has he become real? Has he become Rabboni, your teacher, your Lord, your Savior? The resurrection sends us out to encounter Jesus for ourselves. You can encounter him. Once we have investigated and encountered Jesus, we're finally called, this last part of the passage, to encourage others to investigate and encounter him themselves. We are sent out. Verses 19 through 23. In this last part of the passage, we see Jesus appearing to the disciples in a locked room. They're afraid, and he comes to them, and suddenly he appears in their midst. Now, what's interesting in this account of John, do you see any "do not be afraid"? None. Like the other ones, there's a lot of that. But people encounter angels and they're like, ah, they're freaking out. There's no "do not be afraid." The closest to it is what Christ says right now. What does he say? Peace be with you. Shalom. Wholeness. That was a common greeting, but this greeting emphasized what he has done. What kind of peace has Christ brought us? Peace with God, adoption as sons and daughters, forgiveness of sins, healing. By his stripes we are healed. Shalom is full wholeness of all, body, soul, and spirit. He has brought that potential to all of us. Personal love. He says this twice. And at the end of the second one, you know, so you're going, oh, he said this twice. Now what's after that? That's important. What phrase does he say? As the Father has what? Sent me, so am I sending you. So the resurrection, what that means to us is not just something that we hoard and keep to ourselves. It's such good news that Marilyn said makes you want to jump and share. Makes you want to let others know that peace, shalom, is possible with God Almighty now. Peace is possible with God. Relationship. There's a word he says something, he does something kind of weirder here. It says he breathes on them and he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's kind of a weird thing to breathe on people. Have you ever had someone come up and breathe on you? Well, what's interesting here is this word for breathe, it's one of the only times it's used in the New Testament, but it is the same word used when God breathed the life into Adam. It's the same word used when Ezekiel was having the vision of dry bones that suddenly were getting flesh and they were still not alive. And it said that God breathed into them the breath of life. So it's a pretty important word. What do you think this means? New creation has begun. The new covenant has started. God is giving them life anew. New creation is happening in that moment. That's pretty profound. This year, we've been talking about the core value of service to God and others, right? And this grows out of an understanding of God's grace, his desire for relationship, a call to discipleship. The resurrection sends us out in service to bring this message to others. And there's a weird passage here at the end where he says, if you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from many, it is withheld. That seems kind of weird when I read that. Did that kind of hit you weird? Why would I not forgive? What's that all about? And some, you know, religious systems, they kind of say, well, then the man of God or woman of God has to give absolution of sin, right? That it's forgiven. And as I was looking into this a little bit, it kind of emphasizes the fact that if we don't preach forgiveness of sin to people, they will not have it. He has sent. How will they hear unless someone comes to tell them? They won't have forgiveness of sin. So there's a scary side of this that we are called to go out or people don't hear. And that's sobering. It's the Great Commission. Thinking of parts of the world where the gospel has never been heard. People do not know the name Jesus and what that means. He has called you and I to make sure to go out and preach the gospel to all of creation. We are not called to sit on this knowledge. And you might say, well, you know, I guess I could go buy a plane ticket and go to Saudi Arabia and start shouting it on the streets. Is that what you're asking me to do, Eric? In Acts, it talks about Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. And we've been talking about this on Wednesday night. Our circle of responsibility right now is Mansfield, maybe Madison, your neighbors, hashtag home, right? Who are the four houses around you? Where is your area of responsibility? You are a missionary at your workplace. Did you realize that? You meet people I would never meet. They'll listen to you more than they would ever listen to me. God has called you to be an ambassador for Christ, a missionary in your school, in your neighborhood, in your family, in your work. Everywhere you go, he is sending you. He may call you later to go further, but let's be obedient with what he's called us to now. Let's be sent. When you leave here this morning, you are going into the world. You are going into the mission field. Be sure to be a light, to be presenting this gospel to all those around you by your life and by your words. So, what are we to do with this knowledge? First, I ask you, have you investigated it? Second, have you encountered Jesus for yourself? And have you called him Lord? Finally, are you going out now in the power of the Holy Spirit to encourage others to investigate and encounter this risen Jesus for themselves? In closing, we're going to watch a video. One of my favorite songs at Easter is called The Easter Song. Keith Green, I think, originally wrote it, maybe. Glad did a nice version of it. And I found this other one by an artist, Jess Ray, and their band. So sometimes it's nice to hear it in a different way. It kind of comes out fresh to you. And as we're listening to the song, I want you to think about what we talked about today, what the resurrection sends you out to do. So let's watch this in prayerful thought, and then I'll close this in prayer.
Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that you can be born again. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing Christ is risen from the dead. The angels upon the tombstone said he is risen. Just as he said, quickly now, go tell his disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to the world, he is risen. Alleluia, he is risen. Alleluia, he is risen.
Close our eyes. I Would you just take a deep breath and let that out slowly? I want you, in your mind's eye, to picture yourself at that empty tomb just outside it, like Mary. Let yourself feel those emotions that she was feeling. Who are you looking for in life? What is it you seek? Is it Jesus or something else? And I want you to hear and call out your name right now. And you turn and you see him. You suddenly realize he's all you ever wanted. He is that love, that joy, that acceptance, that significance. All those core longings of your heart are fulfilled in him. The search is over. You don't have to keep grasping for life, grasping for significance, grasping for all these other things. You found the source. Let that sink in. That sudden change from weeping to utter and complete joy. Now picture yourself with the disciples. He says, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you out now. And he breathes on you and he says to you, receive the Holy Spirit. Whatever sins you forgive are forgiven. Those you don't forgive are not forgiven. In so many words, he's saying, there's a lot riding on your shoulders, but I've given you the power of God. There's people that you encounter each day that need to hear this news. And if they don't hear it, they're going to go to a Christless eternity in hell. You have the responsibility, but I go with you. Be faithful to tell them about me. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's stand here to receive a benediction. We just raise our hands as an act of receiving. Go forth this Resurrection Sunday, remembering to let the resurrection send you out. Let it send you out to investigate for yourself. Let it send you out to encounter Jesus for yourself. Let it send you out to encourage others to encounter and investigate this Jesus for themselves. Go in peace. Amen.